Our dearest Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the ability to gather together today and study your word and its effect on our life. And Lord, we ask that you be with Pete as he gives the lesson and us as we hear it, that your word might come alive to us and we might benefit from us and apply it to our life today. And we pray this all in the name of our Lord and Master, the Christ Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Romans, and we'll be reading from chapter 1, beginning with verse 16. If you'll turn in your companion Bibles to page 1663, we'll start on that page and continue over a couple. So we'll, again, start on verse 16 of the first chapter of Romans and finish out the chapter. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, hear now the word of our Lord. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heavens against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gained them over to a reprobate mind to do things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Amen.
If you notice, I have here this morning a little illustration set up. And I wished I would have gotten a little bit bigger things to work with, but this is all I could find around the house that worked. I have here an ordinary drinking cup, like a coffee cup. And also I have a little bitty pitcher, like a creamer or something, but it's a pitcher. And what I want to show is that there's two ways to think about this particular subject. What I'm going to do, I'm going to fill that cup with the pitcher. I filled it with the pitcher. There's another way to think about it. I'm going to fill that cup with the pitcher. Now, there's a slight difference in the meaning there, and I'll get to it later. But you got to go back to your English, your high school English, if you'll remember the dative and the accusative and the genitive case, all that business that I've forgotten. When I put the picture in there, that's the dative. It's a passive verb and a dative case. When I fill it with the picture, it becomes the genitive case. Now, with that in mind, we get to our lesson this morning, which is to be filled with the Spirit. You see, the pathway of we as Christians is fraught with dark and slippery places along the way. There's a lot of uncleanliness and defilement all around us. Pitfalls, if you will. And the adversary, Satan, is there to snare us if he possibly can, because we're living in a crooked and a perverse world. If you've ever read John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress, and by the way, it's probably the bestseller of all times next to the Bible. It's number two. And that's really saying something. Pilgrim's Progress. And in that book, John Bunyan has named all of his characters that are in that book. They all have a name. They have a name like Discontent. And one guy's named Despair. And somebody else is named Envy. And somebody's named Guilt. And there's hypocrisy and fear and self-will and haughtiness, wantonness. All of these names that he uses of his characters that are faced in their lifetime with these particular situations of discontent, as we all are in this life. So the question and the challenge becomes, how do you tiptoe through life, avoiding what John Bunyan calls the pit of despair and gloom? How do you find your way through all of this that we're faced with? And the pathway is fraught with something that Satan throws up in front of us. And Satan, a lot of the things that Satan throws up is a pretty package. It always looks good. It's designer drugs. It's too much alcohol. It is all the things that we are faced with, as Dave read in the first chapter of Romans. And we tend to pick around because it's a pretty package. Because it says that there's pleasure in sin for a season, you know. But inside, everything that the world puts up, and believe me, there's a lot out there. All of our TV programs, our culture, everything's pushing the wrong lifestyle for the Christian. But in that pretty package, there's a death rattle. And when you pick around on it and you finally open it up inside, pretty soon you find yourself in deep trouble, because Satan is a beautiful individual and he puts up all these things in our pathway. A death rattle, if you will. It's everywhere. It's in the language. It's in the culture. It's in the music. So how do you fly straight and level in your pilgrim's progress? How do you avoid all this stuff? How do you keep yourself on the straight and narrow within the will of God? So that's our subject this morning. And if you'll open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, it's on page 1768. Ephesians chapter 5, page 1768. And we'll get back to the pitcher and the cup here after a while. It's Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. Paul says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Back up, look at verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly. What does circumspectly mean? Well, circumspectly is a synonym for perfect, or being accurate, or precisely, or exact, or assiduously. Walk circumspectly. Verse 16, redeeming the time. What does that mean? It means to buy time or forestall the opportunity to do wrong. Why? Because of evil, it says in that verse. Verse 17, be wise. How do you be wise? Well, it's by understanding His will, according to verse 17, what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Now, it doesn't say that you don't drink wine. It says it's successful to get drunk when you're drinking wine, okay? But the latter part of the verse says, but be filled with the Spirit. And here Paul is contrasting those who knew not God. They found their enjoyment in intoxication and corruption and filthy speech and all the things that we read about, that Dave read about in chapter 1 of Romans. And I don't need to list all of those things. We all know what they are. But then he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, if the Spirit fills us with something other than excess wine, for example, what is it? What is the Spirit fill you with? Is it emotional experiences of worship? Is that what being filled with the Spirit is? Is it songs where you sing over and over and over some mantra verse like you hear so much of today in Christian music? And I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying, is that being filled with the Spirit? Whipped up emotions that you see in a lot of spiritual settings, Christian settings, hand waving, hand raising, rhythmic movements. Is that being filled with the Spirit? Chants, fainting, slain in the Spirit. You see preachers knock these people over on the platform and they lay there. Is that being filled with the Spirit? Some seek these, connecting them, being filled with the Spirit. But that is not what is being filled with the Spirit is about. I want to point out something that is, I think, helpful in beginning to understand what being filled with the Spirit is. It's a well-known fact that the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians are parallel. What you find in one, you find in the other. Paul's writing to both of these letters, and there's a lot of information that's directly the same. But there's a little difference sometimes, and it helps to compare these. And that's what I want to do here with this particular bunch of verses. So put your finger in Ephesians chapter 5. And turn over a few pages to Colossians chapter 3. And keep one finger in chapter 3 of Colossians and one finger in chapter 5 of Ephesians. And let's look at these verses and how they compare. Look in verse 19 of chapter 5, it says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And then look at that same verse in chapter 3, or that, look at chapter 6, verse 16, excuse me, in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we have all the, almost exactly the same thing. Look at verse 20 in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and compare that with verse 17 in Colossians chapter 3, says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Same exact in Ephesians verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Verse 18 in Colossians, wives, submit yourselves unto the Lord as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That compares with verse 19 in Colossians, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. In Ephesians, jump over down to the next chapter, chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Compare that with verse 20 over in the third chapter of Colossians. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Jump back to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient unto them that are your masters according to flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto the Christ. Compare that with verse 22 in Colossians chapter 3. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleasers, but in singleness of heart, feeling God. And then the same thing in about the masters in chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. And then we have that same thing in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. See how that parallels? The whole book is that way, actually. Same subjects in the same order. However, go back to verse 18 in Ephesians, where it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you compare that with verse 16, which we looked at in Colossians chapter 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace unto the Lord. One, Ephesians says to be filled with the Spirit. But in Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Here it hints of being filled with the Spirit. What he says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, he is saying what happened here. Be filled with the Spirit. It's actually like I said, it is in this case, it's a passive verb and a dative case. And it's, we understand it better if it's translated to be filled by the Spirit. Now, there's a reason for me pointing this out, because it's so crucial to an understanding. This is dative case. You're being filled by the Spirit. Back up now to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Page 1578. Acts chapter 2, page 1578. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See that verse 4? And they were all filled with the Spirit. How were they filled? Oops. They were filled like that. The Spirit was in them. They had the power to heal. They could speak in tongues. Even the shadow of Peter would heal. And that's a huge difference, being filled with the Spirit and being filled by the Spirit. This is you and me. This cup represents us today. This pitcher represents the Holy Spirit. And how does He fill us? What does He fill us with? And by the way, that in Acts 2 is a passive verb, but it's a genitive case. And I don't expect you to understand that, and I don't understand all I know about it because I'm not that good an English student. But it's the difference in the Greek. It's the same way as it is in the English. One is by and one is with. And it's a huge difference. And if you get to thinking wrong, pretty soon you're beginning to think that you should be speaking in tongues. But you don't have the Spirit in you like they did in the book of Acts. And you can't speak in tongues. And you hear people trying all the time, and it's just a bunch of gibberish. And no one else can understand them. But here, they all understood one another. Why? Because they all had the Spirit within them. We don't have that today. It's not possible today. The verb here is passive, and with Spirit is dative case. And we are filled by the Spirit. With what? What did it say in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. The outcome here is the Holy Spirit fills the believer with the Word of Christ. It's called fruits of the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5, page 1757. Galatians chapter 5. page 1757. Chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. The only thing that's possible for you today to be filled with by the Spirit is with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit can come and give you understanding, and the results will be these fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness. And this is not the only place in Scripture that this is found. Go back to the book of John. A couple of places there in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, page 1560. John chapter 16. Verse 13 of that 16th chapter of John. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Back up a few chapters to chapter 6 of John. Another example of the same thing. Chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. What are the words that he speaks into us? Right here. This is it. He was speaking to them bodily and in the flesh. But he's speaking to us right here. This is what we can be filled with. And the other stuff becomes almost voodoo. The Holy Spirit operates through this book, through the Word. That's what he operates through. And this is a conduit of truth. And what it does, it convicts the non-believer, but it teaches you, the believer. How does this become reality? If you desire the experience of Ephesians 5:18, you are to depend totally on this word. It says, study to show thyself approved, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some people think that you get this by osmosis. It's going to get in there. That ain't going in. I'm telling you, it's too thick. Other people think, rub it like a rabbit's foot. That'll work. How does it work? 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. You got to be looking at it. It doesn't just come to you. You have to use that conduit of information to fill you with the Spirit, to to where you have an understanding, where you have joy, where you have happiness, where you have meekness and temperance in your life, confidence, patience, unafraid, because you know the purpose and the fullness of God's plan. Some comes from the lips of others. I've always been grateful for those who have gone before and put together things like this, and like the concordances, and like all the stuff that's written back here. We learn from the lips of others. But it's got to be looked at some way or another. You have to be here to listen to somebody else teach it, or you have to be digging around in there yourself. And that's the Spirit of truth, and that's how to be filled with the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your magically written word that's been passed to us, this conduit of information whereby we can understand and know your good and perfect will for our lives. We ask you again that you would give us encouragement, strength, give us understanding, that we may walk truly according to your good and perfect will. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.